Yeah, now we're up there. All right, today I want to introduce a new program that's actually old. It's been around a long, long time, and it's something that many of you may have been doing for a long time. It's just not been formal or organized for some time here. This program goes all the way back to the front part of the Bible, in the early part of the book of Genesis, perhaps back maybe 6,000 years in the past. And it goes back to a foolish question that was asked by an even more foolish man. And he asked the question, am I my brother's keeper? Now, the very nature of asking this question suggests that you know the answer. The answer certainly is yes. And, of course, when this comes to mind, when we think about this, I want to ask you this. When you think, what comes to your mind when you think of the word church, okay? What comes to your mind when you think of that? Yes, the people of God, or God's saved people, certainly. But when you think of church, if you're like most people, what we think is something that happens here at this building every Sunday. And we generally think of Sunday worship. So when you think of church and you just think of Sunday worship, folks, that's not what God had in mind for church. That's not the church. That's not what church is. If your idea of church is only what happens at this building every Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night, you need to wipe that idea from your mind. The church is the perfection of God's plan. You see, the premillennialists, and I know a lot of us don't even know what that word means, those who believe in a thousand-year reign of Jesus coming someday to set up his kingdom, those who believe that believe the church was set up as an emergency measure until Jesus could come and fully establish his kingdom. And folks, that is just so false. That is so false. The church is the perfection of God's plan. It is the carrying out of God's plan. When we talk about something coming to perfection, we're talking about something that happens, something that is done. And the church is God's perfection. It is the perfection of God's plan for man. The church, being God's saved people, are going to change the world that they live in. The church is going to do what God says do and be what God says be. The church is the perfection of God's plan. I want you to think back to the day of Pentecost. What did the first 3,000 people think about when they heard the word church? It's rather amazing how little is mentioned in the book of Acts about Sunday worship. Think about it. You think about all the stories you've read in the book of Acts. How many of those stories deal with Sunday worship? The book of Acts is the history of the church. So it's what we're supposed to be like. And I want you to notice Acts 2:42. It says they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, in fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and in prayers. Now that's worship. That's worship. Yes, we understand that. But I want you to look down at verse 46. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart. Did you notice the church ate together from house to house? They ate their meals. They shared meals. They were involved in each other's life. Now, I guarantee you there wasn't a house among the early Christians that could accommodate 3,000 people. Okay? So that meant that people opened up their homes. That meant that on a daily basis, folks were having people over. On a daily basis, folks were getting together. They were seeing each other than on Sunday. This happened every day. In Acts 6, we talk about caring for widows. Do we have any widows here at Tanner? Well, of course we do. Do we have any obligation to them? Well, it's the same answer. Of course we do. James 1:27 tells us that a part of pure religion is visiting the orphans and widows in their trouble, helping them in their time of need. In Acts 5, we read Ananias and Sapphira. You know, they're bad people. They did a bad thing. They lied and they died. But I want you to notice that when they died, some young men in the church, some young men were present and got up and took Ananias' body out and buried him, helped with the funeral. Then they had to do the same thing for Sapphira. You see, what is church? Church helps each other. When you talk about church, we're talking about doing things together and doing things for each other. In Acts 8, verse 2, Stephen is killed. And it says some devout men went out and buried Stephen. And they wept with his family. What is church? It's weeping with those who weep and rejoicing with those who rejoice. Romans 12, 15. In Acts 9, 26, Saul had been converted. He was a new member, yet he's not called the Apostle Paul just yet. But in the church at Jerusalem, when Saul came around, they were afraid of him. Well, this was some sort of a trick. Here's the guy that was persecuting all of us just a short time ago. But Barnabas took Saul, brought him to the apostles. They rehearsed, or Saul rehearsed with him, and all that had happened, and the apostles and the church accepted him. There was acceptance. See, the church is involved with new members. We have a number of new members in the congregation here at Tanner this morning, and that's great. But, you know, we're supposed to reach out to them, and we're supposed to help them grow, and we're to help them feel wanted and welcome. And that is more than just the assembly, folks. That's more than just Sunday go to meeting. When we're looking after each other, when we're trying to help each other, that's what church is all about. It is about Sunday morning, I know, but it's much more than that. Now, I'm not trying to minimize Sunday morning worship, but the church is so much more than Sunday morning. So when you ask the question, what is church? Another question needs to be, are you involved in the church? The church is the perfection of God's plan. God planned the church to be so much more than what we do in this building. And when the church is what it's supposed to be, and when the church does what it's supposed to do, and we're talking carrying out God's plan for God's people, we need to remember that this church, there's a place for everyone. For everyone. Those like us, those different than us. Those even from Michigan. Even from out west. Even from Florida. We welcome people from Decatur. Yeah. We're supposed to welcome people no matter where they come from. Down the street, across town, across the county. We're supposed to welcome people and love people. There's room for everyone here. Acts 12, we find the church meeting in Mary's house. Peter's been arrested, and they're meeting together, and they're praying for Peter. And, of course, you read about Rhoda. She's there at the door, and she's helping people come in. And lo and behold, here comes Peter. He's come out of jail, and she thinks it's a ghost. And she slams the door in his face, runs back in. What's going on? But the church was at Mary's house. When you think about church, when you think about church, you think about Mary providing her home for the church to meet and pray together as they deal with a problem. In Acts 20, the Bible says in Troas there, in Acts 20, there were many lights in the upper room. Now, who lit those lights? Who opened that place up? Who cleaned that place up after they left? Somebody had to do something. There's room for everyone in the church, and there's a work for everyone to do. What is the church? Church is involvement, finding a place to serve. Church is family. Church is family. You consider all the one another passages that are found in the New Testament. 31 times in the New Testament alone, we find the phrase one another dealing with brethren. What does that mean? What does that mean? Here's a few of those passages. Romans 15:7, receive one another. Galatians 5:13, through love serve one another. Colossians 3:13, bearing with one another, forgiving one another. Colossians 3:16, teaching and admonishing one another. 1 Thessalonians 4:18, comfort one another. 1 Thessalonians 5:11, edify one another. Hebrews 10:24, consider one another. Hebrews 10:25, exhorting one another. 1 Peter 5:14, greet one another. 1 John 4:7, love one another. Folks, you know, there's a lot going on right there. That's a lot of one another passages, isn't it? And this is just a few of them. There's 31 of them in the New Testament, all talking about the church and how we're to interact with each other. Somebody says, I don't know what I'm supposed to do. Read your Bible. That's a good place to start. And you'll see that there's something for you to do. We need to be caring for each other. The church is family. This is a clear picture of how we're to interact with each other. Now here we are, folks, right here at Tanner. That's us. And now I know you can't see your car in the parking lot, but that's us. We're here in this building right now. This is not a live shot, as you well know. I just thought I'd better let some of you folks know that. This is just a small segment of our community. Our community stretches from West Limestone to East Limestone to Northern Limestone County, all the way south of the river to another county. Our congregation is made up of people from all backgrounds and all walks of life, but we don't have everybody, do we? Here's the ones that are here. This is not even all of us. Some of our folk are sick. Some are shut in. Some have been just kind of negligent and are missing. But this is not everybody, but we're not everybody in the whole county. There's a whole bunch of people all around us that need the gospel. And we're just a small group of this community, just a small part of it. Do you remember seeing anybody fishing like this down on the Tennessee River recently? Huh? Any of you fishermen? Any of y'all got a seine net or a drag net? No, not really. Not really. Well, those that have traveled abroad, I've been blessed, and Henry's been blessed to do that. In the Philippines, we saw some guys with drag nets. And in India, I've seen the guys throwing the net out and dragging it back in. And, of course, we read about that in Scripture. And it reminds me of that passage in Matthew chapter 13, 47, 48. The kingdom of heaven is like a dragnet cast into the sea and gathering fish of every kind. And it was, they drew it up on the beach and they sat down and gathered the good fish into containers, but the bad they threw away. What is this talking about? What is this light, or this dragnet rather, talking about? It's the gospel. The gospel draws people. And some are converted and some are not. Some are just curious. Some are converted and some are curious. But not everyone obeys, do they? Jesus said very clearly, this thing is really starting to annoy me. We're the light of the world. We're not to light a candle and put it under a basket. We're supposed to shine it, and it gives light to all that are in the house. We're the light of the world. The church is about taking the gospel to lost people. We're the salt of the earth, Matthew 5:13. We add the flavor, and we add the preservation, because without the gospel, people are lost. We are to sow the seed, the word of God, everywhere we go. It doesn't matter where it is. We're to sow the seed. But the thing of it is, we're talking about evangelism here. We're talking about taking the gospel to people. We're talking about taking the Bibles to our communities, taking the church to our communities, putting our faith into practice, carrying the Word of God with us wherever we go. But not everyone obeys the Lord, do they? Not everyone does. And yet, there are many that do. What's our responsibility toward them? Huh? What is our responsibility toward them? Well, those one another statements are a good place to start. That's a really good place to start. As we talk about our responsibility to our brethren. What's it all about? It's about helping each other get to heaven. That's what it's all about. That's what life's about. It's not about planning for retirement. It's not about trying to buy that dream home or get that new car. It's not about that promotion at work. It's not about getting your degree in college. These things are important. I'm not trying to suggest they're not important. But we need to keep our focus on what's really important. As Solomon says, life on this earth, the things we can gather, the accomplishments we can manage, are vanity and vexation of the spirit. They're empty, they're hollow, they don't last. They don't matter when it comes right down to it if we miss heaven. And so that's the most important thing we can do, is help our brothers and sisters to heaven. That's what we're supposed to do. Today, we're talking about a way that we can all serve the Lord and one another. And we're talking about family groups. Family groups. Now, you could call them care groups, ministry teams, brothers keepers, but when it gets right down to it, we are family, and that's what church means. So, today, I want to tell you what we're launching, what we're doing. We're having lunch together afterwards. If you didn't bring anything, don't worry about it. This is so important. You come on back here. We got plenty of food back there. Come on back here. Let's have lunch together. There's plenty of seating back there. Come on back here. Let's have lunch together. Let's talk. We want to share with you what our dream is, what the goal is, what our effort is going to be about, and what how we're going to carry this out. But we're talking about three groups. Group one is captain is Mick and Christina Edwards. Group two captains are Lamar and Velvet Mills. Group three captains are Eckerd and Barbara Walker. Group one meets on the first Sunday. Group two meets on the second Sunday. Anybody care to guess when group three meets? All right, very good. The third Sunday, that's right. Fourth Sunday, no meetings at all. And the duration of this is February 5th through November 30th, and the program ends the last day of November. It's not going to go on unless Jesus comes before November 30th. This program will end. We're having a starting date and a stopping date. And then the month of December, we're not going to do anything, and then we'll start back with a new program January 1st. That's the plan. Now, here's what's involved with this, okay? We're talking about edification, building up the church, helping each other grow. Now, there's a difference in building up and meddling. We're not going to be meddling. It's not anybody's job to try to convert somebody else to Alabama or Auburn. That ain't it. It's not anybody's job to tell you what kind of car to drive or that you shouldn't paint your house blue. It's nobody's business what color your hair is. It's nobody's business what style of clothing that you wear, as far as whether it's the latest fashion or if you want to wear overalls. That's nobody's business. That's meddling. And that has nothing to do with us getting to heaven. But what we are talking about is helping each one of us be the Christian men and women that God wants us to be. Helping each one of us to live like we're supposed to live before the Lord. And when someone who is spiritual sees a brother or sister sinning, that spiritually minded brother or sister needs to lovingly approach them and say, "Hey, I'm concerned about you. I'm seeing something that I'm not sure you're even aware that's going on, but this is what I see, and here's what the Bible says." That is edification. That is building up. And we're talking about time. Really? Okay, what happened? Oh, I think Okay, somebody tell me what's going on, because I don't know. Ken, what happened, buddy? I turned it off? Do I have that power? I just pushed a button. Did I push the wrong button? Can you put me back? I don't want to sing Jingle Bells. Wow. Okay. I didn't know I had that kind of power. Remind me never to push this button. Well, sing, make melody in your hearts to the Lord. All right, okay. If you can get me back, Ken, I'd appreciate it. There we go. Thank you. That's good right there. That's it. Thank you, brother. Well, I'll disable this button if I can. Okay, Ken bailed me out. I appreciate it. All right. Time with the Word of God. We're talking devotions. We're talking spending time together, encouraging each other. We're talking about time spent with each other and time spent recharging. What do you mean? Well, devotionals in people's homes. Sunday meetings that are going to be here first, second, third Sunday night where we are helping others. And then, of course, fellowship. You know, the teams will determine if they want to have a meal on Sunday night when they meet or if they just want to meet back there and make assignments and point out, here's some folks that would need some encouragement. Here's somebody that's sick. What are we going to do for them? And so we can share with each other in those ways back here. We're going to talk about the details of that back here at lunch. But we're not trying to tie up your limited time. We know that everybody has limited time. But really, apart from church services, how much time do we spend together? That's a question I want to ask. Just how much time do we spend together? Let's see. We spend, if you're here every service for every part of it, that's 4 hours a week. And let's see, there's 168 hours in a week. And if I can do my math right, that's 2.3% of our week that we spend together. 2.3%. Now, I hear people say the church is more important to them than their job. I hear people say the church is more important to them than anything else on this earth. Of course, other than their family, other than themselves and their family making it to heaven, that the church is so important. We spend 2.3% of our time per week together. Now, I'm not suggesting that we've got to spend, you know, more hours in worship, not longer sermons. You know, I'm waiting for an amen. I'm not suggesting that we have to do that, but we need to understand that church is more than simply Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night assembly. It's more than that. Now, let's see. Here's another thought. Most people in the religious world today, most people in the Christian world today, try to give about 10% of their income. That's just sort of a rounded figure, and it's based on that Old Testament tithe, and there's no New Testament parallel, there's no New Testament command that says what percentage of your income you're to give. But most people in the Christian world today try to give about 10% of their money. So that comes to... let's see. Well, if you use the same ratio, okay, the same ratio, 10% of your income, 10% of your hours, that's 16 hours a week. How many of you are ready to add 12 more hours a week in doing evangelism and edification? Yeah, that's quite an interesting expansion of time there. But here's the thing. Here's the thing. Your elders are asking you, okay? Your elders are asking you, each of you, to help us, to help you, to help each other. We're asking you to help us, to help you, to help each other. And the way we're going to do that, one way we're going to do that, is through our family groups. We will announce the team divisions back here at lunch. If for some reason you're not able to stay for lunch, you will be informed, you will know. And starting next Sunday, Team 1 will meet after Sunday evening service right back here. And so we want to launch this program. We're excited about it. I think you're going to love it. I think you're going to have a good time. And we're going to do a lot of good. We're going to help a lot of people. And our prayer is that we do all the good we can for as many as we can, as long as we can, and as often as we can, and may we do no harm at all. That is our prayer for each other. And that's our prayer as we go about trying to do the Lord's work. Now, it could be that there's somebody here who's not a Christian. We got a good sized group this morning. It could very well be that you're not a member of the Lord's church. You've never obeyed the gospel. And you can see right here what God has said you must do if you want to be saved. You have to believe in Jesus and then repent, turn away from your sins, confessing your faith in Christ, and be baptized into Christ for the remission of your sins, and then labor faithfully, work in the Lord's vineyard, work in the Lord's kingdom, in His body, in the church. But you got to do more than simply come and sit on the pew on Sunday and Wednesday. You got to do more than that. You got to dedicate yourself to helping others get to heaven, because I can guarantee you there are others that are trying to help you get to heaven. So help us, help you to help each other. If there's anything in your life that's standing between you and God, we encourage you to come today while you can. Don't delay. Come now if you need to, as together we stand and sing.